heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As we chat late on this Monday evening, the dream is dead. The Rockets will not be going 82-0. I think we all knew that realistically a long time ago, but now it's officially official. The Rockets falling to 3-1 on the year, suffering their first loss of the season Monday night at Toyota Center against the Memphis Grizzlies, 98-90. It's a quality win for Memphis, who just beat the Warriors by 10 points 2 days earlier. So let's give Memphis some credit. They have a lot of players that play with pride. Certainly Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, a lot of very, very proven veterans on that team who are able to slow the pace, and especially early in the year when teams are not really clicking at on all cylinders, that ability to slow the pace, there's certainly a lot of value to that. And well, the Rockets need to figure out a way to adjust because they do play the Grizzlies three more times within the next month. So it's a little bit of an unfortunate note in that regard from a scheduling perspective, because certainly the Grizzlies got the Rockets out of their comfort zone a little bit. But before I even go into discussing the game and what happened down the stretch, yes, the Rockets were outscored 20-2 late. Folks, you cannot let the officials off the hook. And before you go on a rant saying, well, the Rockets lost, they're outscored 20-2, it shouldn't matter who the officials are. No, it shouldn't. The Rockets have their own issues, and you know what? I feel pretty confident that Mike D'Antoni, Daryl Morey, everyone involved with this organization is going to address them over the next couple of days before they play Philadelphia the next game on Wednesday night. What happened down the stretch from an officiating perspective is downright unconscionable. It was a crew chief led by John Goble, who to me has always been a subpar official from all of my interactions with him and watching him over the years. But there were several calls in the final 6 minutes. I'll start by saying that James Harden really, really got a bad shake tonight. You could tell the new emphasis, the lack of shooting fouls. James only got to the line 8 times. I should have made more free throws. He only hit 4 of his 8. But the Grizzlies were allowed to be very, very physical with James on his drives. One thing that was kind of telling for the Rockets, Eric Gordon got going very early. Ended up still having a great game. 27 points, the Rockets' high scorer, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, but only 8 of 19 from the field. Gordon and Harden, despite driving relentlessly, had only 15 free throws between them. The Grizzlies as a team had 37 free throws. The Rockets as a team had 23. If you think that the Grizzlies deserve 14 more free throw attempts than the Rockets, that they were that much more of an aggressive team, you are kidding yourself. Eric Gordon, James Harden, especially Eric, were driving to the paint hard. There was a completely different standard on both ends of the court. And then in the final 6 minutes of the game was one of, in my opinion, the most unprofessional displays that I've ever seen. Just so many blown calls, but I'll point out three that were just absolutely an abomination, and they all came when the game was within 4 points either direction. The one play in which on the floor, James Harden was whistled for a technical foul and Mario Chalmers a flagrant foul. What happened, there was a screen up top in which Mario Chalmers flopped when James Harden was setting a screen up high. Chalmers went down. He had his feelings hurt. He could have injured James, reacted very violently, using his legs to chop and kick at James Harden. On the floor, they called that a flagrant foul on Chalmers. They actually didn't even blow a whistle at first. It took 2 or 3 seconds of Chalmers kicking before the whistle was blown, and because they did not blow the whistle immediately, Harden was frustrated and pushed Chalmers in the chest because, well, if the officials aren't going to break up the play, at some point you have to defend yourself. It was a very dirty action if someone is literally kicking at your lower half. So At that point, they go to the monitor to review, certainly, because there's any altercation at all, the NBA is going to take a look at that, and I support that. Well, when looking at the monitor, somehow they overruled the original call, which I didn't even realize that they could do, switching it to an offensive foul on Harden, which it absolutely was not. It was a legal screen. Chalmers flopped. And then, instead of, because I suppose by judging that the foul occurred before, then they took away the flagrant and essentially made it a matter of two technicals, one on Chalmers, one on Harden, and essentially it was a huge swing for Memphis because the Rockets had the ball, and suddenly the Rockets had the ball, and they were also going to get the free throw advantage, essentially a flagrant foul versus a technical, a flagrant foul being two free throws in the ball, a technical foul being one. So the Rockets, in one video review in which the officials saw what was going on, saw that Mario Chalmers committed a very, very dirty play, and Harden, well, the only reason Harden even responded was because the officials did not come to his defense, as is their job to do, and somehow, after watching that on replay, the call was flipped, and essentially the Rockets were punished. The Rockets lost possession of the ball. Instead of, before the Rockets were going to get free throws and maintain possession, instead the Rockets get nothing and lose possession. That is absolutely absurd, and that should never happen. It's bad enough to botch that on the court. They were far, far too slow in addressing Mario Chalmers when he was clearly sticking his legs out. Again, Google Mario Chalmers, or Twitter search, excuse me, Mario Chalmers, James Harden. You can certainly Google it as well, and you can see the play. But, folks, they were slow calling it, in my opinion, because the officials let this be a game that was entirely too physical all game long, and what was most frustrating about it, they only let it be physical on one end of the court. Again, the Grizzlies, a team that is not especially adept at drawing free throws, went to the line 37 times. The Rockets only 23. So it's not as if the officials were just letting both teams go at it and it was a physical game. No, it was what happens a lot of times, in my opinion, over the regular season when you play a team like Memphis. They let the team with the reputation for being that grit and grind defense get away with things that a normal team that doesn't have that rep is not allowed to get away with. So, again, I think the entire sequence started because they let Chalmers go for a second or two longer than he should have because of that reputation, because of how much they were letting get by, and yet somehow the Rockets ended up getting punished for that sequence on replay, which is the worst of all, that somehow this was made worse by viewing the thing in replay. If you disagree with me, I strongly encourage you to go look at it. Then, the next sequence, again, there were tons of awful calls all night, but I'm just going to focus on three that were just completely unconscionable, in my opinion. In the final minute, the Rockets had the ball down four with a minute to play. Still very reasonable for them to make a comeback. No, that was their best shot, their best last shot to make a push. James Harden had the ball. He tried to pass it to Eric Gordon, who was open on the perimeter. And instead, on the way over there, for whatever reason, one of the officials was in between James Harden and Eric Gordon. The ball went off of the official and out of bounds because no one was able to recover it, and the last player to touch it was James Harden, who passed it, so the ball went over to Memphis, which is just absolutely ridiculous. And Chris Paul, of all players on the bench, was actually having to show the official technique. But just to put it simply, this was not a situation in which the players were moving ridiculously fast. This situation where it was a slowdown half-court set, there is absolutely no reason for the official to be in the play at that particular point in time. That is an absolute abomination. And if you want to say accidents happen, that's fine. But there are certain accidents, if you are a professional official at the highest level, that you cannot make. If you cannot get the most simple, basic action right in that situation, I understand why going to replay. Now, they did replay it, and they kept it as Grizzlies' ball. And that's because on replay, really, there's nothing else you can do. The ball went out of bounds, and the last player to touch it was James Harden. So by the book, that's a right call. I don't blame them on the replay for that, the way I do the previous call, because the previous call, certainly, I don't even think it was an offensive foul on James to begin with. And even with that, certainly, you should have a way to punish Mario Chalmers, who was the aggressor and the much more dirty player in that sequence than James. But, yeah, that was a replay mistake. The latter wasn't the situation where it went out of bounds in the final minute, that wasn't a replay mistake because that's all they could do. That's an officiating mistake. And, you know, in general, mistakes happen, but when the same mistakes happen over and over and over again from the same crew, and you know there is not going to be accountability, watch it. Watch these three names. They're available in the box score. I can guarantee you that they're not going to face any immediate discipline for this, or at least not any public discipline, because the. And again, I want to point out, by the way, when I critique the discipline on it, I'm not blaming the NBA. The leagues themselves try and do the best they can with regards to disciplining officials. That's why they do these things like the last two-minute report. They want to get better. It is the officiating unions that are the problem here. They push back so hard on any transparency, any reprimands, any criticism. They have been protected for so long. And in this case, that's just something that cannot happen. I think we all know that, yes, there are some mistakes that you make, we all do, but generally, they're understandable on some level. They can happen. There are some mistakes, all of us, when we go to our job, that you just simply cannot do. For example, I'm hosting a podcast here. If I repeatedly just start going out and using the F word, then I'm going to get in trouble with my sponsors or whoever is backing me. Same thing with a live TV show. There are just certain mistakes that you cannot make. And if you're an official and you literally are in the way, in between the two best players in the Rockets team, by the way, and you can't get out of the way in that situation, boy, in any other profession, if you make a mistake of that magnitude, you are sweating when you hear from your boss in the morning. I don't think that's what's going to happen in this case. And of course, that speaks to the lack of accountability that goes on, not just with the NBA, but sports officiating as a whole. But that's not even the end of it. The end of it, then 20 game seconds later, Rockets still not quite done. They're still trying to at least get one more shot down four. And at midcourt, they create a hard trap. Eric Gordon comes over. They trap Mike Conley. And Conley, he tries to take a step back. Actually, first, he extends his arm to push off Gordon because he knows he's in trouble. He did not call timeout. Maybe it's a panic move. And then, after extending his arm, making contact, slips, falls down, and the foul is on Eric Gordon, which resets the shot clock. It's one thing if you have one call like that. But, folks, there were three incredibly, ridiculously awful calls in the last 6 minutes of that game that had a ton to do with the outcome. And that doesn't mean I'm not holding the Rockets accountable for their mistakes. I'm going to discuss that in a moment. But then when you have three calls that are that awful, all in favor of one team, and then they come on top of, as I said, look at the free throw disparity for the game as a whole when you're looking at 37 versus 23. It's just incredible. It's just, that's the word I keep coming back to, that you can make those level of mistakes and somehow not face consequences and just go on about your job. It is incredible to me. Now, that's not to take anything away from the Grizzlies. They beat the Warriors by 10, and you know what? They may have beaten the Rockets anyway. They did a lot of good things on the court tonight. So I'm certainly not going to act like that this was... the referees took it from Houston, because no, Houston did a lot wrong by itself, and Memphis did a lot of things right. So, no, it's not all the officials. But you know what? I trust that most folks are going to hold the Rockets accountable. I don't know who is going to hold the officials accountable for what was just an abomination repeatedly, over and over again. So I'm sorry for leading with that. If you want to hear more Rockets talk, then yeah, we're going to get to it now. I've said my piece about the officials, but folks, if you look the other way, then in my opinion, you're part of the problem. The only way you can get any sort of substantive change is through public criticism when the league and the officials become fearful that interest in their product is declining. And if the officials are the story, then yes, public pressure can make a difference. The most famous example of that, I think back a few years ago, Green Bay and Seattle, there was a Monday Night Football game when the officials in the NFL were using replacement officials. That was after the officials' lockout, and the replacement officials were just awful. And after a botched Hail Mary to end the game, the outcry was so much that after months of labor negotiations being stalled, by the next morning, it was done. So yes, these leagues do listen to you. They do care when the perception of their league takes a hit. So no, I'm not letting the Rockets off the hook. They did some bad things. But folks, when the officials are this bad, It needs to be addressed. That should never happen. If you are a paying customer, you deserve better than that. You deserve to go out there and see the players go out and decide the game by themselves. If you're a fan, you deserve that too. And well, we all, it's an early regular season game. Thankfully, it wasn't one that had that much meaning in the grand scheme. The Rockets being 3-1 versus 4-0 at this point, it's really not that big of a deal. But folks, you have got to call a spade, in my opinion. When the officials are this bad, somebody needs to say something about it. Now, with my officiating talk over, let's get back into the game itself. Because the Rockets, yes, they had a 12-point lead late, but ultimately fell apart, scored just 2 points in the final 6 minutes, outscored 20-2, scored just 33 points in the second half. Just an ugly game from an offensive perspective. After getting off to a pretty good start, 57-50, they led at the half, only 33 in the second half. And, folks, I know it's easy to say, but when you're missing a top-10 player, it's going to hurt your offense. And the Rockets, especially without Chris Paul, you're seeing that lack of depth at the guard spot exposed a little bit. The story early on was Eric Gordon, but I think he faded a little bit in the second half. He was so efficient in the first half, 18-5-4 at the half. Now, he did still have, I'm looking now, 9 points, 2 assists, no rebounds, actually. So, yeah, 9 points, 2 rebounds. 9 points, 2 assists. No rebounds after 18-5-4 in the first half. So Eric Gordon, in my opinion, he got a little less springy as the game went on. James Harden was okay, 22 points, 8 assists, but certainly too many turnovers with 7. But the real story was that there's no third guard at all. They played Demetrius Jackson 4 minutes in the first half. He was fairly pedestrian, I would say. And then with it getting closer in the second half, you could tell that Mike D'Antoni did not want to trust him at all. And that's kind of a problem when you can only, you know, you have all these minutes at the guard spots and you only have two players that you can trust. Now, to D'Antoni's credit, he's not going out there and playing James Harden and Eric Gordon 45 minutes a night. We're not doing anything crazy like that. Harden was capped at 35, Gordon at 33. However, A, their usage got higher, and I think that had to do with Gordon in particular kind of wearing down, running out of gas as the game went along. But the other part of that is because there's no guard you can trust. The Rockets went with a ton of lineups with very limited creating ability. You had so many lineups which you were trying to play, essentially, Ariza, Tucker, and Bamute all together, at least one of those as a guard, per se. And this is a Rockets team that often plays three guards. They were playing one guard with essentially, call it Ariza, Bamute, whoever you want to call it. None of them really shot that well. I guess Bamute was okay at 2-for-4, but PJ was 1-of-6, had just 3 points. Trevor Ariza, 0-of-5, had just 2 points. So it wasn't a good shooting night for any of them to begin with. But in addition to them not making shots, you had zero creative ability from the Rockets on the floor. And they were actually, yeah, it was just not, it was just some ugly basketball. And you could tell that there just were not a lot of options that Mike D'Antoni trusted behind James Harden and Eric Gordon, really none, to the point where you're playing forwards and guys who should not be logging guard minutes at all. And so in addition, you know, it hurt they didn't make their shots. The Rockets are only 9 of 38 from 3. That's 23.7%. That's not going to win many games against anybody. But beyond that, if you're not making your threes, then ideally you need to be able to drive to the bucket and create other ways. Maybe run the pick and roll, because early in the game, James Harden and Clint Capella had a lot going on. Clint Capella, in general, had a positive game, 14 points, 6 rebounds in 25 minutes against Marc Gasol, shot 7 of 9 from the field, but the pick and roll eventually dried up because there weren't enough ball handlers. And the few ball handlers they had, James Harden, Eric Gordon, they're often the only one out there. They couldn't swing it to the weak side. And then, you know, even when they were out there, certainly there were some fatigue issues from a lack of help when it came to initiating the offense. And it's tough to see where they go from there, because Demetrius Jackson, I said last week, that, you know, while he was an okay player, not a huge liability, he certainly did not inspire confidence. At this point, it's pretty clear that Mike D'Antoni does not really trust Bobby Brown for whatever reason. Rockets did make a signing this morning, Bryante Weber, to their other two-way contract in addition to Demetrius Jackson. Weber, on paper, though, he profiles as a defensive-first guy, which certainly is nice to have a guy who can D up. But in terms of actually giving you confidence from a playmaking perspective, running the offense, and if Chris Paul is going to be out another 2 or 3 weeks, you may need that. I don't know that he moves the needle enough. Now, he may be worth a shot, because certainly Demetrius Jackson does not seem to have earned much trust getting no run in the second half. But if you don't trust Demetrius, you don't trust Bobby Brown, then yeah, maybe you give Weber a look. But if he doesn't pay off, the Rockets may have no choice but to look for a more proven veteran option. I know they first looked at Jameer Nelson. He opted for more consistent playing time down the road with New Orleans. But there are other guys available, Isaiah Cannon, Deron Williams. The Rockets may have to go that route, even if they want the flexibility of maintaining that open roster spot, the room beneath the tax line, et cetera, because this game tonight, and, you know, it's a slight exaggeration because certainly the Grizzlies are a team that's better defensively and is more successful at slowing the pace than a lot of others. But folks, you're going to play the Grizzlies three more times in the next month. And if Chris Paul is going to miss at least two of those meetings, I don't see how you could have that much confidence in the lineup we threw out there. We saw the Rockets throw out there tonight from an offensive perspective. Now, certainly some of these issues will resolve themselves if the Rockets make more threes. Now, the Rockets so far this season, they have not made that many threes. I keep saying every podcast, I feel like, man, they did all this, they won this game, and they didn't even make their threes. Well, no, at some point that needs to change, and it will. I do not think the Rockets have forgotten to shoot the basketball. It's mid-October. They're going to be fine. They have guys that are very accomplished over their careers at shooting the three. That's eventually going to turn. But part of it, tonight against Memphis, it's not just a matter that they missed those shots. Yeah, ideally you would have had a couple more. Maybe that's enough to steal this game by a point or two with a little bit better luck and or better officiating. But beyond that, I don't think they really got the same quality of looks that when they are truly humming at their best, when they're playing with pace. That's because they're not able to play with pace. There are not enough guard options. There are really only two now with James Harden and Eric Gordon. And those minutes early in the second and fourth quarters, that's what stood out like a sore thumb, really, when the Rockets just could not get any traction at all. And I know late in the game, yeah, 20-2 was the close to finish it. So yes, the Rockets had their problems with James Harden and Eric Gordon on the floor. But I think by that point, well, A, there's some fatigue issues from having the burden entirely on them as playmakers, and then B, the last 6 minutes of the game, that was when some of the officiating issues just completely got out of hand, and to me made the last 6 minutes almost a complete cluster from an analysis standpoint. Now, defensively, I generally felt the Rockets were okay. They were a little sluggish from time to time. I thought James Harden in particular was a little poor this game, but generally I thought the effort was good. I thought Ryan Anderson, Luke Bamute, P.J. Tucker, they threw their bodies around. P.J. had 8 rebounds in his 28 minutes. Ryan had 6 and 31, but some energetic ones late in the game. They actually out-rebounded the Grizzlies overall, 39-38. So I thought the Rockets' will was okay. There were certainly some lapses. There was 1-3 that Mike Conley got to get some real separation late. That was a little too easy. But I really thought after the Grizzlies actually scored less points in the second half than the first. I thought the Rockets, they cleaned up their transition defense a lot at the half. And I actually was planning on saying midway through the fourth quarter, I was thinking that one of my lead items to discuss would be that the Rockets cleaned up their defense at the half. I thought they were much better from an execution standpoint. Unfortunately, whatever they cleaned up defensively, they lost offensively, going from 57 points in the first half to 33 in the second. And so, obviously, the offense and, well, the officials, of course, because they played a role in that, suddenly become the story here. But defensively, not great. But as far as a game in October, honestly, I was not that down on it. I thought they made some quality adjustments. I thought the Rockets wanted this game just fine. I think they know Memphis is a quality team. They just beat the Warriors by 10 their last time out. So I think the Rockets, they took the game seriously. There are just some limitations when you essentially don't have any more than two guards, we're talking literally two guards, that you're willing to play against a good defensive team. There's just not enough playmakers, and one of the only ways that you can kind of make up for that is maybe you just have a good shooting night, and even if you're not creating enough, then you're getting enough shots to go down that it's just your night. And, well, in addition to not having the playmaking, they also did not have the shooting, and you combine that against a team that's fundamentally sound, and, well, you get tonight's result, and especially if you combine it with the awful officiating. So I'm not really that concerned big picture because, first off, I mean, a lot of these issues are related to you are missing a top 10 player in the NBA. And so when you get that, A lot of those are going to resolve themselves. You're going to see the Rockets playing exactly how they want to play. So long term, I don't think this style is a problem. I don't think Memphis is a problem. I think you get Chris Paul back, a lot of these issues go away. Also, you are going to have some more shots go down certain nights than this. Even if the quality of shots wasn't quite as good, certainly there are going to be some nights that you're more effective than this. And certainly there should never be a night where the officiating is this embarrassing. That should never happen again. Although it probably will, because we all know the way accountability goes, or more accurately, does not go in this league, and really all sports leagues, for that matter, with regards to officiating. So a lot of this stuff is going to clean up. However, the one thing I'm worried about, that lack of accomplished third guard other than James Harden and Eric Gordon, unless you feel like Chris Paul is ahead of schedule, it certainly doesn't sound like that from everything we've heard. It sounds like there's at least a couple of weeks to go on that. Then, yeah, those Memphis matchups in the short term, that make you worry a little bit. And you know what? Is it that big of a deal in the grand scheme? No. I mean, these are games in October and November. It's not the end of the world. But at the same time, when the margin is as thin as it is between teams like the Rockets, the Spurs, the Thunder, in that battle for the number two spot in the West behind the Warriors, every little bit helps. So if I'm the Rockets, and I'm sure Daryl Morey is noticing this, you have to think about if there's a little incremental move you can make over the next 2 or 3 weeks and whether that's worth it to give you a better shot in this particular matchup that you have 3 more times in the next month, Rockets Grizzlies. So with all that said, I think I'll wrap up this longer than usual post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. Apologies for the officiating rant leading off, but if you know me, I don't feel comfortable letting the officials go after that nonsense. I think that needs to be addressed. It's ridiculous that there's not more accountability. And while I'm not going to say the officials decided the game, there were just some awful, awful things and key moments that should never, ever happen. And before we even discuss the issues in the game, I think it's important for everyone who watched this on both sides of the equation to call it out and do their part to make sure that that's not going to happen again. So please don't take this as me saying the officials won the game, that the Rockets don't bear responsibility. No, they've got plenty of mistakes. I discussed them, and we'll talk about them more in the coming days. But as I record this in moments after that game, folks, if you watch that game and the officials aren't near the forefront of your mind, I don't know what you watched, because that was just an embarrassment. And so I thought that was important, you know, to kind of at least balance. I don't want to make it all about the officials. The Rockets did a lot of bad things themselves, but certainly the officials did some things that should never happen. And as I said, with the Rockets, we can discuss their issues, but I'm pretty sure Mike D'Antoni is aware of them. He said he called a lot of them out in his post-game press conference. So I trust him to do his part to rectify those issues. I'm not sure who's going to rectify the issues on the officiating side, and so that's why I think it's especially important for those of us who have voices, podcasts, social media, whatever it may be, to try and do our part to say to the NBA, the officials, whoever it may be, that, hey, this is not acceptable. This is ridiculous. So, again, my apologies for that. I don't plan on having too many shows like this. But, folks, if you watch this one, I think you'll know why. That was just patently absurd. No better way to put it. So, don't want to whine anymore. It is what it is at this point. Rockets took the loss, 98-90, now 3-1 on the season. There's a lot more positive things to look forward to in Houston. Astros open up World Series play tomorrow, and then Rockets go on the court next on Wednesday against the Philadelphia team, which at least on paper should be a friendlier matchup from a defensive perspective and the guard limitations that the Rockets have right now. So I'll be talking with you again about that one in a couple of days. But for now, Houston, have the best night you can. Get ready for the Astros tomorrow. If you're not already following me or the show on Twitter, please do that, at Ben Dubose. That's my handle, at Locked On Rockets is the show. Also, email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the diehard Rockets fans. So, once again, unhappy final from Toyota Center. Grizzlies 98, Rockets 90. Rockets now 3-1 on the young NBA season and back in action Wednesday night in Philadelphia. Look forward to talking with you guys again then. For now, have a good night.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop! At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.